Whether you know it or not, I just told you. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can open to John chapter 20 and verse 24. Praise God. He's so faithful. The Word is good. So fired up for today's message. Just excited to help you and for you to walk out of here changed and better. Hallelujah. Father, we're just so grateful today, so honored to be in your presence, to be gathered around your Word. Father, we know that the Word is our help. It's our answer. You said the Word is like a lamp and a light to our feet and to our path. It guides and directs us. I liken it to a GPS. It tells us where to go, how to get to the places we need to be. It tells us how to get out of the lost places, out of the stuck places, out of the hard places. So we thank you for the Word this morning. Father, we thank you that when I open my mouth, words from heaven will flow through me, Father. Utterance from heaven. Help me to say exactly what people need to hear this morning. Father, people are going through different things, facing different things, different circumstances, different seasons of their life. But you know what needs to be said. You know what needs to be accomplished in this service. So, Father, we look to you this morning. Jesus, you are Lord, and we praise you. Thank you for hitting bullseyes in people's hearts this morning. Talk to them as if this message was just prepared just for them. And, Father, we'll give you the praise for it. You're so good to us. Every time we gather around your Word, it's an event. It's not mundane. It's not repetitive. It's an opportunity for our lives to be different. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, John chapter 20 and verse 24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12 disciples talking about, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So it's talking about Jesus already being raised from the dead. He's appeared to them, the disciples. But Thomas was not there when he had done that. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he, Thomas, said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side. If you remember right, they thrust a sword into his side when he was on the cross. He said, I won't believe it. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith Jesus to Thomas, reach hither your finger and behold my hands. And reach hither your hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed. You see that word, blessed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have yet believed. You can interchange the words belief with faith, faith with belief. That's all belief is faith, and all faith is belief. Jesus is saying, blessed are the ones that enter into a lifestyle of faith. Amen. He's given us a clue here. Now, you've heard me preach a lot about faith, and it's not because I have nothing else to say. It's because it's a divine direction from the Holy Spirit. In fact, almost 10 years ago, I was started the church in 2010, but in 2009, I was aware that I was going to be starting a church in 2010. I was aware of that in the fall of 2009, and so as I was seeking God about the ministry, and I was walking my yellow lab Wrigley, who's now with Jesus, you know, I always get things on those walks with her from him. I'd hear from heaven all the time on those walks. They were precious to me. And the Holy Ghost said about my churches, we will major, one of the things he said is major in faith. Love was the other thing. Well, if you know anything about college and higher education, you can have majors, you can have minors, and then there's core classes that don't even fit into the major or the minor that they just make you take. But the major is what you're going to major on. It's the majority of the stuff that you're going to take. You know, if you're going to school to be, let's say a doctor, whatever, that your main thing you're not going to be studying is plumbing or basket weaving. You know, that was one of the classes offered when I was in school, basket weaving. You're going to major on that stuff that has to do with being a doctor. Or if you're a teacher, different things. You major in history, major in music. That's what's going to be the majority. And so the reason we talk so much about faith, and it does, it is the subject we talk about more than anything around here, is because that's what God wants for us. Amen. And I'm glad, because I love that subject. I love that faith will change your life. And Jesus is saying here that blessed are the people that enter into a lifestyle of faith. Listen to what it says in the Message Bible. I love this. It says, so you believe because you've seen with your own eyes. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing. What's he saying? There's blessings in store for people that will be in faith. Amen. Amen. Today's going to be drive home some points and brand some things into you. I'll tell you, I preached this message last night. It'll come out different here. But I preached myself happy last night. Now, what I mean by that is I was feeding myself as I was preaching. And I'm not kidding you. This is not exaggeration. Just get you excited about today. I listen to the Word all the time. I'm in the Word all the time. It's my job. It's what I do. Amen? And I'm always receiving things from the Word. And I'm telling you, last night as I was driving home, I knew I'm different because of what the Lord had me share, not because of my preaching, but because of the content of the message. You'll be different today, I promise you. I promise you that you will be. He said, better blessings are in store. Well, the blessings that we know of are salvation first and foremost, but all these blessings, favor would be one of them. Healing, right? Prosperity, joy, victory, protection, all the things that we're believing God for, all the things that we need in life are the blessings. But where do the blessings come from? The blessings don't come from ourselves. We can't bless ourselves. The blessings don't come from people. We can be blessed by people. God uses people. But there's certain things that only God can give us. Supernatural type things, right? They come from Him. So go with me real quick to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. The blessings come from God. The blessings are what we want, right? And he says there's blessings in store for the person that will make up their mind to go forward from a foundation and a platform of faith. That is my goal here today, is to pull you up higher out of any doubt and unbelief that you might be in and set you firmly in every area of your life on a foundation or a platform of faith, because that's where the blessings flow. But that's what we're going to drive home at first here. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, notice what it says here. For by grace are you saved. The saved is the blessing, salvation. He says it was the grace that came from God. A good acronym for grace that will help you to never forget, at least it helps me never forget it, is God's, G, riches are at A, C, Christ's expense. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what God's grace is. His riches that we get because of what Jesus did. Well, those riches, that grace, yes, it includes the power to save you, but that grace is also in the power to heal you, to provide for you, to open doors for you, to pave ways for you, to make ways for you, to deliver you, to turn some things around. But look at how it operates. For by grace are you saved. It was God, because the blessings come from Him. We've established that. Grace are you saved. It was the grace, the power of God, His mercy, that caused you to receive salvation. But you had a part. It doesn't say, for by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved through God's mercy. For by grace are you saved because God pitied you. For by grace are you saved just because He thought it was a good idea. No. He said, by grace are you saved, but it flows through your faith. Now you have to understand something. This is how every single one of His blessings operate. Every blessing that you need that He talked about, those that be in faith, there's blessings in store for them that come from God, will flow through the avenue or the pipeline or the road of faith. That's why it is vital that we are in faith. Because they only flow through faith. and I'm going to prove that today, in a story in the Bible that to me sums up this point more than any other story in the Bible would, about how if we're not in faith, we won't receive. Doesn't matter what we're facing. Doesn't matter what we're going through. Doesn't matter how dire it is. Doesn't matter how hopeless it seems. If we're not in faith, God's not moving towards that situation. And I'll show you that in the Word. Don't just take my word for it. But he says, by grace are you saved through faith. That happened for your salvation. You didn't just wake up saved. Right? You heard about Jesus, believed Jesus, confessed it, or released your faith. And what happened? You got saved. Now, as I was meditating on this message, this is the analogy the Lord gave me, is if you think about a fire hydrant. You know, fire hydrant, they're not just curbside decorations, right? They're meant to be a blessing to the fire department when they need to put out a fire. But how many of you know when the firemen get to the structure that's on fire, maybe it's a home, maybe it's a business, whatever, and there's a fire hydrant that they want in a residence or something, they want a residential neighborhood, they want to plug into that thing. How many of you know they don't come there with a truck full of water, pour it in the fire hydrant, down to whatever. I don't know if there's a tank. I don't know how they work, but I know water comes out of them. Somehow they're hooked into something. How many of you know the water's already there? The water's already there. What does the water represent? The blessings flowing. Why? Because in a fire, water's a blessing to put out a fire. That's what's needed, right? You need God's blessings to put out some of the fires in your life. But the water's always there. Place can be on fire and people can be losing things and it can be a disaster and things and going wrong. And there the whole time is something right there that if you plug into can help put that thing out and bring relief and bring blessing. But notice that until somebody hooks into that fire hydrant, the blessings don't flow. God never changes. He's blessing 24/7. He's looking to bless all the time. But by grace are you healed. By grace are you provided for. By grace are you delivered. By grace does that situation turn around. By grace does that door open. By grace does fill in the blank come to you. But it comes to you through faith. Faith is your part. That's what Jesus was saying. He's saying, Thomas, the people that will enter into faith, they're like the people that are hooking the hose up to the fire hydrant and the blessings are flowing through. Yeah, the fire hydrant has the ability and has the water, but until somebody hooks in, we're not getting any flow. That's what Jesus was saying. Blessings are in store for the people that will get into faith. Why? That's what God flows them through. He flowed His salvation or saving power to you through faith. Praise God. Now, without faith, the blessings get plugged up. Without faith, it's like going to that fire hydrant without a hose and saying, come on, there's the problem, come on, we'll do something, come on. And that's the way Christians are. Well, come on, where are you? Don't do something, Lord. I'm desperate, I need you, do something, Lord. That's what it's like. It's ridiculous. You see a fireman walk up to say, I studied this in fireman school. I know you got something for us. Come on. Come on. Come on, Lord. Pastor talks about how good you are. He talks about how good you are, God. It don't flow without faith. Why am I trying to tell you? Because if you are here today and you think that God's working behind the scenes, but if you have doubt and unbelief in your life, I'm here to tell you, He ain't working behind the scenes for you. I'm going to show you in the Bible a story that if there's any situation in the Bible, if there's any situation in the Bible where God would step outside the boundaries of His Word and act just because He feels bad for somebody, it would be this situation, but you're going to see He doesn't, okay? Go with me to Matthew 15 and verse 22. Matthew 15 and verse 22. Look what it says here. I'm going to show you now. And behold, a woman of Canaan. Now Luke's rendering of this story calls her a Syrophoenician woman. All you need to know is that she was not a Jew. She wasn't Jewish. She was Syrophoenician. Came out of Canaan. Came out of the same coast, now notice this, and cried unto him. Now what I want you to picture in your mind is the desperation that she's feeling. Saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Now look at her situation. My daughter. That right there, if you're a parent, says it all. You parents know how you feel towards your children. In fact, there's no other subject or topic or anything concerning finances, sickness in my body, things going on with the church. Nothing can press upon my temptation to worry and fear like things with my children. Nothing even other comes close. Finances don't even come close to pressing on my worries and fears like things with my kids do. So, now, don't enter into that temptation of worry and fear. That's where you get God to plug up the blessings. Or God doesn't plug up the blessings, you plug up the blessings. He's ready to flow it out. But with kids, right? Would you agree with that? That's like, I mean, you do anything for your children. You'll go to the moon and back if you could for your kids. And so she says, my daughter is grievously, not minorly, not littlely, grievously vexed with a devil. What's that mean? My daughter is tormented by the very one whose skill set is stealing, killing, and destroying. And he's all over her life and messing with her. So think about her situation now. Picture it in your mind. How desperate she would be. How unbelievably hopeless it would feel. How discouraged she would be. Amen? Amen. My daughter's grievously vexed of a devil. Now look at his response. But he answered her not a word. Now who is he? The fire hydrant. He's got what she needs. He's got what you need, and he's got what I need. So she comes to the fire hydrant. Oh, lots of Christians are going to the fire hydrant. And Jesus, sweet Jesus, ignores her. I'm trying to drive home to you because eventually he doesn't ignore her. But he doesn't ignore her until she changes her approach. He's ignoring her. In a situation that is so desperate and so much despair, he's not going to do a thing about it. In fact, he's not even paying attention to her. And it gets worse. He answered her not a word. And then his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She's crying after us. So when he's ignoring her, he didn't even answer her. She comes to him. Picture this. To Jesus, sweet Jesus. Because we just think, oh, he'll just do it. He'll just do it because we're hurting so bad. Because we need it so much. She needed it. And she's crying and she's desperate. And Jesus isn't even giving her the time of day. So she thinks, I'll go to the second best thing. I'll go to the disciples. They're with him. And they don't do anything with her either. They ignore her and run to Jesus and say, get her away from us. They weren't going to help her either. Now look at what he says when they come to her. So she's there, the disciples there, and they're coming to Jesus saying, get her away. And look what Jesus says out loud so she can hear it and they can hear it. He answers, said, I'm not sent, but unto, or I'm only sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What's he saying? I'm not here for the Syrophoenicians, I'm here for the Jews. That's what he said. She heard that. Well, I'll tell you one thing I love about her, is she wasn't a quitter. You can't be a faith person, a faith giant, a conqueror, a get-to-the-other-side type of person if you're going to be a quitter. Because there's going to be times it looks like quitting. There's going to be times it feels like quitting. I was just in my truck on the way here, and I was just telling the devil off. I was just telling the devil off. I was just saying, you know, it's been prophesied twice now by Pastor Nancy. Pastor Michael said, the hordes of hell have come against me. Reverend Greer said, the road's been tough and weary. Pastor Nancy twice said that the devil attacked me in a way, in a certain way, because of what's ahead. And so I was saying to the devil in my car, you ought to give him a pep talk of your own. Or in my truck, I was saying, devil, you're so afraid. And I will get to the other side. And I will be victorious. And I will see the other side. And you will not stop me. And you're so afraid of what it's going to be like when I come and I arrive in that place. I'm not quitting. And I said, devil, the reason that you won't win is because I will not quit. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care what it looks like, what it feels like, what it seems like. I am not going to be denied. And that was what this woman said. Here, she's ignored by Jesus. She's ignored by the disciples. Jesus said, I'm not here for you. You're not a Jew. And she still came, verse 25. She came in worship and saying, Lord, help me. I love her attitude. Not quitting. Lord, help me. But look at this. Evidently, she's still going up to the fire hydrant and not getting what she needs because, Lord, help me. And what does he say? It's not meet or it's not right to take the children's bread, who's the children of Israel, and cast it to the dogs. Now think about your own family. If you have pets and you have kids, supper time comes, you know, dinner time comes, you get the food made, you say, Caleb and Abby, you're going hungry tonight. Come here, Willow, my black lab. It's all for you. That's out of order. You would say, that's wrong. Why are you starving your kids for your dog? And Jesus is saying, it's not right. She needed something from him. And he said, it's not right for me to give you what I have. You're a dog in this equation. You're not part of the family. You're not in the inn. You're Syrophoenician. You're outside looking in. And that was a true statement. So four times she gets rejected. Jesus ignores her. The disciples ignore her. Then Jesus says, I'm not here only for the lost sheep of Israel. Then he says, I'm not giving you what belongs to the children. That would be out of order for me to do that. Oh, she still didn't quit. I don't know about you, but I won't be denied. I will not be denied. There is another side that we're getting ready to dock into, and I'm telling you what, I am not going to be denied. And there's another side for what you're going through that you're ready to dock into, and you will not be denied. You're not going to be denied. Messages like this are going to help you to not be denied. Well, it's been like this for so long. Who gives a flooty-tooty about so long? We're about to dock into some things. Praise God. And he says, I don't give the meat. It's not right to take children's bread and cast it to dogs, verse 27. And she said, that's true. Now there's a change in her now. She's gone from, help me, son of David, oh, I need your help. You know, how many of you have ever been there? I've been there. Just no faith at all. Just complete desperation and moaning and groaning and crying and weeping and a wailing. Anyone ever been there? I've been there. Children of Israel were there. They wept, moaned, and groaned and complained, and they didn't get in, did they? That's not how you get in. That's the wrong approach. That's how it'll keep you out. And that's why she wasn't getting anything from him, and he's got everything she needs. Why? Oh, help me. Oh, where are you? What do I do? I'm so desperate. I'm so hopeless. Listen, let me tell you something. I don't care what situation you're in this morning. If you're a Christian, you are not helpless. You are not hopeless. And if you feel helpless and you feel hopeless, you just don't know enough yet. The position that you are in as a child of God is not a hopeless one, is not a desperate one, is not a despair one. You just don't know enough yet. And she's approaching him from that standpoint, and he's not doing anything about it. Now, before I go on to what I want to say about how she changed, let me remind you something about Jesus. Because a lot of people look at this the wrong way and they think, well, Jesus just changed his mind. Or Jesus was being mean. Or Jesus was, I've had people say, that was mean of Jesus. We have to establish something. Number one is that Jesus loved children. You see in the word where it said, suffer or allow the little children to come unto me. And he would gather them up in his arms. We see Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. He loved children. We see Jesus talk about parables where he said, the greatest, people need to become like these little children who are the greatest in heaven. Faith like a child, right? That's what he said. Praise God. We see Jesus say that you better not mess with a child. He said anyone causes these little children to stumble, it'd be better for them to tie a millstone around their neck and go jump in the lake than to mess with the child. That's what he said. So when she comes to him and says, my daughter's grievously vexed of the devil, let me tell you something. He's touched with that. And the Bible says he's touched with the infirmities or the problems that we have. He has compassion. He's not some rogue robot that doesn't feel. Oh, he feels it. The last thing he wanted was that little girl to be grievously vexed of the devil. And then you have to remember that, remember what I in the book I wrote, His Goodness, called The Jesus Rule. And I learned through reading the Word that you can find out exactly who God is. Just look at Jesus. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 19? He said, I only do what I see my Father do. He said, that's it. I'm only here to do His will. I only do what my Father does. So if you see Jesus healing, the only reason He's healing is because that's what Daddy does. If you see Jesus blessing, it's only because of what Daddy does. He was a walking, talking God on the earth is what He was. He was the visible God in the flesh. Visible representation. So why do I say that? Well, the Bible says in 1 John 4 and verse 8 that God is love. Amen. Because if you look at this wrong through the wrong perspective, you're going to see a Jesus that doesn't care. You're going to see a God that ignores you. You're going to see a God that's okay with your problems. That's not the case ever. He wasn't ignoring her and pushing her off to send her away. He was ignoring her and pushing her off to try to pull her up higher and put her into a different place, a foundation of faith. Why? He can't respond. Do you remember when the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, before he ran into her, he ran into a man named Jairus, and Jairus said, my daughter is at home, she's at the point of death. He said, I will come and heal her. On his way, he meets the woman with the issue of blood. He deals with the woman with the issue of blood. He says, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Behold thy plague. The next verse says, and they came from Jairus' house, and they said, trouble the master no further. Your daughter has died. Well, Jesus didn't care if she was alive or dead. It didn't matter to him. His power is going to raise her up if she's dead. And if she's sick, he'll raise her up that way. It didn't matter to him. So, but notice what Jesus said. Now, Jesus would not have needed to say what the next thing that came out of his mouth. Would not even have said this. If we're not going to learn, or if what we're talking about is not true today, that your faith matters. He looked at Jairus, the dad of this daughter, that had now died. Just like we know that Jesus, if he could just take care of that daughter that was grievously vexed to the devil because of his love for children, his mercy, his compassion, he just would have done it. But he couldn't do it. Why? Faith moves God. And so Jairus hears this news, and you can imagine what that news would be like. And what did Jesus say to Jairus? He said, don't be afraid, just be in faith. Don't be afraid, only believe. What's he saying? Jairus, if you want this thing to turn for the right way, only thing that's going to flow out of me and get me to the blessings to flow out of me is an attitude and a platform of faith. Why would he tell him that if he didn't need his faith? Why did Jesus get to the house and kick out all the unbelieving people that were weeping and wailing? He said, I can't work in this environment. Somebody's got to have faith in the midst of the fire and stand tall and look the devil in the eye and not back down. That'll plug into the pipeline. The pipeline will plug in into the source, and the blessings can then flow. It's the same thing here. So we know Jesus loved her. We know Jesus wants to help her. We know Jesus is good and hates the situation she's in. But four times she's rejected until she changes her approach. In verse 27, remember Jesus said in verse 26, I'm not giving the bread. It's wrong for me to give the bread to the dogs. And you in this situation are not a Jew. You are outside the family. You are likened to a dog. I don't give what I don't just give that out. It doesn't belong to you is what he's saying. And she said, I love it. She shifts her. She said, that's true, Lord. Because it was true. It's wrong spiritually and it's wrong naturally to do that. She said, that's true. So now she's operating not out of desperation, out of fear and worry. Now she's operating out of truth. He says, that's true, Lord. That's true. It's wrong for do that. But I know something, Lord. Just like you say it's not right to do that, but I know something else in that equation, Jesus. Now see, why do you think he said that to her? Because he knew there's another part of that equation. And I'm trying to get her to that part of that equation. She says, I know it's wrong, but the dogs, they might not get the whole meal, but the dogs get the crumbs. What was she saying? Think of this faith statement. I don't need the bread. I don't need the whole loaf. I don't need the whole meal. You have enough power. All I need is a crumb from you, and it'll turn everything around. That's faith. That's what she's saying. And so now she's, oh, Lord, help me to. I'm not going to be denied, and this is why I'm not going to be denied. Yeah, I might not get the bread, but I'll get the crumbs, because in the situation you told me, Jesus, it's true, but it's also true that after the meal, the dogs come up and sniff around, and they get crumbs, and that's all I need. That's all I need. And look at Jesus' response in verse 28. What's the first word say? What's the first word say? Then. The whole time he's ignoring her and telling her stuff she doesn't want to hear, but now he changes his tune. Why does he change his tune? Because she changed her tune first. Then Jesus answered her and said, not before then, glory to God. He said, woman, great is your faith. Well, what is when a person's in faith likened to? Taking the hose, going to the fire hydrant, hooking into that thing, and now flow starts coming out. And the flow started coming out. Why? What happened? Be it unto you as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
Amen.
Gives me chills. Praise God. I love faith. It's so fun. I love the lifestyle of faith. Something about looking, sickness and disease, bankruptcy and poverty and lack and things, oppression and weights and impossible things in rugged mountains. There's something about looking at that and smiling and saying, you're going to go, you're going to be removed, and I will not. There's something about it. Fires me up. Just fires me up. Fires me up, because faith is the force that can change that which naturally is impossible for you. That's why you need to be in faith this morning.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, here's what I want to show you from this situation, this story. Had she said, guess it's not right for me to get the bread and left, you think Jesus would have chased her down? Nope. Jesus didn't chase down the woman with the issue of blood who was weak and couldn't touch people, naturally wasn't allowed to be able to touch people, and there were multitudes thronging him, and Jesus didn't say, hey, part for that sick lady. No, she had to press to get to him. It's up to you if you want. He says, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm available, and I'm able. You want, just like the fire hydrants always say, I'm ready. It just sits there like this. You know what a fire hydrant looks like? It says, I'm ready. Fire hydrant says, I'm ready. I got something for that problem. Till you hook into it. Praise God. Now, this is what I want to say. Don't get mad at me for saying this. You know what this proves to me? God doesn't move just because you need something badly. Your desperation and your hopelessness and your hurts and all the oppression and the years that it's been going on does not get him to budge and start flowing out the blessings. That's not how it works. We have to get out of the emotional realm and try to get God to move based on emotion, and get God to move based on how he moves, which is a person that's in faith. Because he can't violate his word. To me, with this woman that his daughter was grievously vexed to the devil, if there's any time that he would have just said, I just feel so bad for her, I don't care if she's in faith, to me it would have been this situation. And he didn't even budge. Didn't budge. But tried to pull her up higher. She approached him with truth. So faith is the platform that you need to be in, praise God. Faith is the platform you need to be in.
Hallelujah.
And you need to ask yourself, because we've established clearly this morning, this is why we preach this all the time. If you think that God's moving behind the scenes, just because you've been hurting for so long, and just because it's so bad, just because you're a Christian, just because you serve in the church and you bring your tithes and you're faithful to come and you're a good person, and God's just going to move, but you're in a platform of doubt and unbelief, God's not moving towards you. He's just not. By grace are you healed. By grace are you delivered. By grace are you made prosperous through faith. That's your part. So I want to ask you this morning, right now, in what you're believing God for. I know some of the things you're believing God for. Most things I probably don't. Some of you don't know anything that you're believing God for. Hopefully you have a faith project. Are you in faith this morning? Now, before you answer, I'm going to give you a litmus test in the Word to show you if you're in faith or not. Because the Word shows us exactly what faith is. Go with me to Romans 4 and verse 18. Talking about Abraham. Remember what he was believing for? He was believing for a son. And here he was 100 years old, his wife 90. So it was impossible. It was a mountain. It was a rugged mountain. There was no hope. It was despair. It was discouragement. Romans 4:18, talking about Abraham now. Now again, you think about the things you're going through and things you're facing and things you're believing God for. A financial turnaround, a healing, a deliverance, whatever it is. Well, if we could get ourselves out of it, we would have already. But the blessings flow from Him. And He only flows when someone hooks faith up to it. So we better be in faith. But what is faith? Romans 4 tells us, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now here's verse 21. Verse 21 is your faith litmus test. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God promised, the promise of the blessing was, you're going to have a child. The natural said, no way. It was impossible. Science said it. The medical community said it. Friends and family said it. His own body, his wife's body. History of the world said it's not possible. And God said it was. And look what the Bible says, that Abraham was fully persuaded or fully convinced. So let's bring that to your situations. Are you, without a shadow of a doubt, fully persuaded, 100% convinced, that if it's a sickness, your complete healing will manifest? If it's a financial thing, that complete need will be taken care of. If it's a deliverance you need, that the deliverance. If it's something for your kids, if it's something for your job. Are you in this place? Because that place is a place of faith. I'll give you an example that the Lord gave me. It's a silly one, but He gives me silly ones because I'm silly. And I'm not the smartest naturally, and so He gives me just simple things to help me understand it. I appreciate Him for that. He doesn't talk over my head, which wouldn't be that hard. Where's Jim? See, I pick it on myself. It's not hard for him either. Just had to get that in there too. There he is, peeking through. Go do your job, please. You reprimand him for looking in here. That's not good. Anyways, God talks to us on our levels. Praise God. Fully persuaded, convinced. Outside right now, I mean, we're not even in the winter season yet. What in the world? Why do we live here? And it looks like winter, and it feels like winter, and we're not even to winter yet. That's kind of, if you let it, depress you a little bit, you know, if you don't like winter especially. It's like, this is like a, you know, like in The Lord of the Rings, they had first and second breakfast. This is first winter, and then we still have second winter to go. I like the idea of first and second breakfast. That sounds good. Amen. But I know this. I'm fully persuaded, and I am convinced without a shadow of a doubt. Doesn't matter that I can feel it. Doesn't matter that it's far off, that I will see summer again. Now, before your thought quickly goes, that's a dumb example, because Pastor Mike, you're 40 years old. You've seen a lot of winters come and go into spring and summers. You know this is how it works. And my response back to you would be, yeah, but you know what? You've seen God. over and over in your life. Be faithful. So if you're telling me that my faith's in because I've seen it over and over again, then I'm telling you, then your faith should be, you've seen it over and over again. You saw God do it here. You saw God do it there. You saw God do it here. You can remember a time. He hasn't changed. I can't feel the summer, and it doesn't look like summer, and it's months and months away, and it feels like it's never coming back. Doesn't it feel that way? Especially when you look at the calendar and things. It's like, oh my goodness, it feels like it's never, but I'm convinced it is. I'm persuaded that it is. 100% convinced. So are you. Are you that way towards your thing? If you're not, that's locating yourself. I'll tell you what last night did for me. I made this declaration last night. I was preaching. I said, no more days of, no more minutes, no more seconds anymore of doubt and unbelief. I refuse. Why? Any second spent in doubt and unbelief plugs up the flow. Minutes spent there. People spend days there and they're wondering, why isn't it happening? There's no flow coming out. Amen. I'm done. Full faith ahead. Why? That's where God moves. That's the only place that God moves. We need to be there. Praise God. So if you're not there, and you could say, Pastor Mike, I'm not 100% convinced. I'm not fully persuaded. In the couple minutes we have left, I want to help you get there. Amen? How did Abraham get persuaded? Well, look what it says in verse 21. The answer is right in the verse. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised. Go with me to Romans 10 and verse 17. Two more verses and we'll close it down. Romans 10, 17. So elementary, but how many times we find ourselves doubting, unbelieving, and even thinking, well, God's going to do it. No, he's not. He's just not. He proved it with this woman. He said, I'm not going to help you until you change because I can't. You can stand at the fire hydrant all you want and beg and kick that thing and want it to go and pray the water to come out. Until you hook into it, it's not coming out. So then, faith. What's faith? The avenue, the road, the pipeline that God can flow everything you need. So then, faith cometh. Oh, we better get this. By hearing and hearing. See that? By the word of God. So then, Abraham, being fully persuaded that what he had promised was able also to perform. What did he promise? You're going to have a son. Can you imagine how many times Abraham replayed that over and over in his head? Said that out loud. The Lord said, I'm going to have a son. The Lord said, I'm going to have a son. The Lord said, I'm going to have a son. And every time he'd hear it, the Bible says, faith comes, faith comes. Well, we know early on he wasn't in faith because him and his wife laughed at God when they said about the proposition of them having a baby when they're older like that. But now he's not laughing anymore. He's fully persuaded. I'm convinced. It's happening. That what he had promised. The word causes faith, the faith that you need to get in that platform of receiving. The word causes that to come. But how does it cause it to come? By hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. And hearing it. You mean, Pastor Mike, that thing I might not be fully convinced on, I might have to put some time in? Yes. Yes, you might. I say, how much time? I don't know how much junk's up here. You know, my Amish friend remodeled Jonas. He remodeled my bathroom. And I said, how much is this going to cost? How long is it going to take? He said, I can't give you that full answer until we rip up the floor, because we're replacing the floors too. Rip up the floor and see what's underneath. He said, some jobs I go to and the floor underneath, the supports or whatever is there, is fine and we don't have to do anything. We just lay a floor on top and then it doesn't take as long and it's cheaper. He said, there's some places I rip it up and it's been leaking all these years secretly and it's rotten out there and we got to go ahead and replace all that and maybe even replace plumbing and all this different stuff. And it costs more, it takes longer. Well, I don't know what's behind the surface here. I don't know how much doubt and unbelief's rolling around in here. How much have you been focusing on that sickness that's not going to turn around? Been focusing on how broke you are and that wrong mentality. And so now the remodel job's going to take a little longer. Because, well, I'll give you an example. Y'all know the main example. I started the church over the storefront, you know, in September of 2010. Well, I quit my job, you know, and it put me $2,000 short. Well, my faith was not at $2,000 short because I wasn't like Abraham laughing. I was crying and nervous. Caleb was just born, and what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, God doesn't move on what are we going to do. God isn't moving. Hey, I'm starting a church for you, and there's a baby on the way. He's going to ignore that. He's going to ignore that. That's not faith. Oh, help me, Lord. Oh, help me, Lord. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They're not getting anything, and they're wondering. Then God gets blamed, and they get down on themselves. No. Make a change. That woman in Matthew 15 made a change, and everything changed when she made a change. And so you know what Pastor Mike did? I know how faith comes. You can't pray for it. You can't wish for it. You can't beg for it. You can't have someone lay hands on you for faith. The Bible says one way faith comes, here in the Word. You know what that means? That takes time. Well, I could hear word on finances, and I hear it, and a little bit of faith comes in me. You know, I'm getting... But there's so much junk up there of poverty mentalities and lack mentality. There's such a lack mentality with Christians. There's such a just skim by mentality. And God's a God of abundance. Well, you can't have that overnight. You got to, you know, when somebody renews or restores an old car, it doesn't happen overnight. Why? There's a lot of wrong, ugly old parts and nasty, broken down things that have to be replaced and taken out and put in and the paint job and stripped and all this different stuff. It takes time. Remodeling a room takes time. Remodeling your mind to think right will take time, but it can happen. If you'll continue to feed, the Bible says faith will come. So how long do I need to do this for? Until you get fully persuaded. Until it doesn't matter what the doctors say. Until it doesn't matter what the financial reports are saying. It doesn't matter what the situation is saying. What the people that are against you are saying. It doesn't matter anymore. You're just so convinced that what God has said is going to come to pass. That's faith. How does that come? Hearing the Word. 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 Till when? Till you're persuaded. Eventually I got to a place where I was like, $2,000, big whoop-de-doo. He's God. When in the beginning, $2,000 was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Some people lose their mind over $100 or $200 short a month. And I was losing my mind over $2,000. And then I got to the point where I was like, I'm excited for the calendar to flip to a new month. Let's see what God's going to do this month. I'm serious. That's how it got. I didn't even care about a salary anymore. I didn't even care about getting money. To watch God move supernatural like that was exciting. But why was he flowing towards me? I was in full faith. I was so convinced, just rejoicing about it. Praise God. But how did that happen? I took time and listened to financial messages, got in the Word over the finances, meditated. Go to Joshua 1:8. We'll close with this. Over and over. And then all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute. I'm not nervous anymore. I'm convinced that what God is saying is more true than what the devil's telling me in my mind. It doesn't matter what the report's saying. God said something different. And I, so how'd that come? Hearing the Word. Hearing the Word. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Look at this now. But you shall meditate therein day and night. We read this so many times. But I'm hoping today that the people that realize I'm not in the fully persuaded category, someone's going to click in you, and you're going to start taking God at His Word and realizing that's not going to come any way different than His Word. He's not going to change His ways for you. His method to receive or to get faith or to walk in this, He's not going to change it for you. It's going to take day and night. You know what day and night represent? Time frames. Time going by. But if you'll do it, meditate day and night that you may observe to do according to all that's written, then you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. Well, think about prosperity and good success. You'd say those are blessings. Well, what do we talk about way at the beginning of this message? Where do the blessings come from? They come from Him. If you could make your own way prosperous and your own way successful and get out of the trouble you're in and get the mountains, you'd already have done it. But they come from Him. Okay, they come from Him. But what else do we learn in the middle of the message? They only come from Him by faith. Well, if you meditate in the Word day and night, you're doing Romans 10:17. You're hearing and hearing the Word. What happens when you hear and hear the Word? Faith comes. What happens when faith comes? You plug into the supply. When you plug into the supply, the blessings flow. What happens when the blessings flow? Prosperity and good success. Glory to God. Yes. You can't afford to not be in faith one more second of your life. Your Father, who has all the answers, all the ability, all the power, will not work until you get there. So let's get there. Amen. Let's get there. Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray. Let's just praise Him. Father, we thank You. Oh, we're helped today, Father. We're changed today. Not one more second. I refuse to wallow around and to wade around in a pool of doubt and unbelief. The doubt of questions, the doubt of wondering, the time trap. Nope. You've said it, it'll come to pass. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. I'm fully persuaded, I'm fully convinced. Fully persuaded, fully, I will get to the other side. These people will get to the other side. We will see the end result of this, and we will come out. And the devil, you're on notice, Satan. We're not quitting. We're strengthened today. We're fortified today. Our shield of faith, which quenches all your fiery darts, has been made stronger. We put You on notice. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you throw at us. It doesn't matter what you conjure up. It doesn't matter what dust storms you kick up. We don't care. God's Word is true, and we win. Come on and say that. We win. Glory to God. Everybody say this after me. Say, I will get to the other side. I will get to the other side. I will not be denied. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You so much. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Oh, it's coming. We might be on the rough waters now, but who cares? It's coming. Oh, we're about to dock into that prosperity, into that deliverance, into that turnaround, into that blessing. Whoo, yeah. That's right. You're faithful. And we're going to cooperate with You. We're going to be the Christians that cooperate with You. We're going to give You an avenue, a pipeline to flow through in the name of Jesus. Now, if I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes, please, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question this morning. So we talked about God being the blesser, the best blessing, the greatest blessing that you need to flow towards your life is the saving, salvation blessing. Ask yourself this question: if today were my last day on planet Earth, am I fully persuaded and convinced that I would go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I'm here to tell you I am convinced. You can't talk me out of it. I'm persuaded. I know I'm going to heaven. You say, but Pastor, how could you be so sure? It's because I followed the steps the Lord told me. He told me how to get there. I followed His directions, which are believe in Jesus and receive Him. So if you're here this morning and you can say, Pastor Mike, I am not fully persuaded. I am not 100% convinced that if today were my last day on planet Earth that I would go to heaven. Don't walk out of here being unsure when God has made it free and wants to help you and to ease your mind with eternity. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. But if you are here and you say, I'm not sure, I'm not certain, I want to be certain, it's simple. If you believe in Jesus, you're qualified, and the next thing you have to do is just receive Him. And we'll all pray a prayer together in doing that. You're not going to be on your own here. But with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, is there anybody here this morning that you can say, I'm not 100% sure and I want to be sure. I do believe in Him. Would you lift your hand high in the sky? Anybody at all that's not received Jesus, lift your hand. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else? We're not rushing this because sometimes people are shy. Listen, if you're on the fence of eternity, get off the fence. There's no reason to be on the fence. If you have a sliver of doubt in your head, that I don't know if I'm saved. Let's get saved. Anybody else? I told you I'm not going to embarrass you. Anybody else want to receive Jesus before we close the service? Just lift your hand high in the sky and I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody that's never done it before? Anybody at all? Father, we had one hand in the building, and maybe there's other people that for whatever reason didn't raise their hand but want to be included in this. And there's people listening by live stream right now and in the archives in the future that might need to receive this. So for that person that raised their hand, this is it. From this point forward, don't ever take a thought that you're not saved. I don't care if you had a bad week. I don't care if you disobeyed. I don't care if you went astray for a little bit. No, you just repent. He's not going to take his salvation away from you. And if you didn't raise your hand, it's not the raising of the hand that gets you saved. It's the believing and receiving of Jesus. And if you're listening by live streaming on the archives, I know you're not here and we can't see you, but you can get involved with this because it has nothing to do with being in the service to receive it. So for that person that raised their hand, or anybody that should have, or those listening by live stream or in the archives in the future that want to receive Jesus, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The whole church is going to pray it. So if you raise your hand, you're not going to be the only one saying it. And this prayer, the context of this prayer is going to be us declaring we believe in Jesus and then inviting him into our lives, which is the equivalent of receiving him. So for that person that raised their hand, other people that maybe should have raised their hand, those listening on live stream, along with everybody else in the church, repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you, once and for all, to come into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him praise. We thank you for it, Father. Glorify your name. You're so good. Praise God. Now, before we dismiss, don't forget, we have Wednesday night service, prayer at 5:40. That's exciting. I'm pumped to be back for that. And we have the potluck. Let's go ahead real quick and pray for the food. Father, we're just so grateful that we can fellowship together. And Father, just pray that you bless everybody that took time to make something or to spend their money to go get something, to buy something. Father, we call this food blessed to our body. Father, we thank you. You take sickness away from the midst of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet and give him praise. Father, we love you. Come on, I mean it. Let's worship him. Let's not just go through the motions. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.
Nothing is impossible for